You need to hear this if you're a Canadian wondering about political integrity. In 2019, the SNC-Lavalin affair shook Canada to its core. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and his office were accused of pressuring Attorney General Jody Wilson-Raybould to intervene in a criminal case against the engineering giant SNC-Lavalin. The charges? Fraud and corruption tied to contracts in Libya. Rather than letting justice take its course, Trudeau's office pushed for a deferred prosecution agreement. This would allow SNC-Lavalin to dodge a criminal trial. Wilson-Raybould stood her ground, stressing the need for a prosecutorial independence. Her defense led to a dramatic fallout. She was removed as Attorney General, resigned from the cabinet, and a report by the Ethics Commissioner confirmed Trudeau violated conflict of interest rules. The scandal peeled back the layers, revealing how deep political interference can go to shield corporate interests. It raised serious questions about the integrity of our leaders and the principles of judicial independence. Stay tuned as we dive deeper into the web of scandals that have unraveled during Trudeau's tenure. From questionable vacations to political resignations, Canada's political arena is anything but dull. In the heart of a Canadian democracy, a storm was brewing. The Canadian Senate, a body meant to represent sober second thought, found itself embroiled in a scandal that shook public trust. This was not a matter of deferring political opinions. Instead, it was about something far more fundamental: the alleged misuse of taxpayer dollars by those entrusted to safeguard them. At the center of the maelstrom were several high-profile senators: Mike Duffy, Pamela Wallin, Patrick Brizeau, and Mac Harb. These senators, each with their own political affiliations, faced accusations of claiming ineligible expenses. These weren't minor oversights. The sums involved were substantial, reaching into the tens of thousands of dollars per senator. The allegations were varied and serious. Senators were accused of claiming housing allowances while maintaining primary residences outside of Ottawa. Travel expenses came under scrutiny, with allegations of personal trips being disguised as official business. The very essence of public service built on a foundation of trust and responsibility seemed to be crumbling. As whispers turned into headlines, Canadians watched in disbelief. How could those sworn to uphold the highest standards of ethical conduct become mired in such a financially murky swamp? The stage was set for a dramatic showdown that would expose the flaws in the Senate's expense system and leave a lasting impact on Canadian politics. The year 2012 marked the beginning of the unraveling. News outlets began reporting on questionable expense claims made by certain senators. The initial reports, met with denials and justifications, soon gained momentum, fueled by mounting evidence. The year 2013 saw the scandal escalate dramatically. Duffy, Wallin, and Brizeau, all prominent figures within the Conservative Party, were suspended from the Senate. Their removal from the Red Chamber, a rare and drastic measure, underscored the gravity of the situation. Meanwhile, Mac Harb, a Liberal senator, chose to resign amidst the growing pressure. The scandal also ensnared the highest office in the land, implicating then-Prime Minister Stephen Harper's office. Nigel Wright, Harper's chief of staff, resigned after revelations that he had personally intervened in the scandal. Wright admitted to providing Duffy with $90,000 to repay his ineligible expenses, a move that sent shockwaves through the nation. Harper, initially claiming ignorance of the payment, later stated that Wright had misled him. This attempt to distance himself from the scandal did little to quell the public outcry. The scandal reached its zenith with Duffy's trial, which captivated the nation from 2014 to 2016. The trial, broadcast live, provided Canadians with a front-row seat to the inner workings of power, revealing a side of Canadian politics often hidden from view. In a stunning turn of events, the judge presided over Duffy's case acquitted him of all charges in 2015. The charges against Brizeau and Harb were also dropped, and all three, along with Wallin, were reinstated as senators. This outcome, while legally sound, left many Canadians questioning the efficacy of the Senate's oversight mechanisms and the ability of the justice system to hold powerful figures accountable. The Senate expenses scandal was not merely a political drama. It was a betrayal of public trust that resonated deeply with Canadians. The audacity of the alleged offenses, coupled with the perceived lack of accountability, fueled a wave of anger and disillusionment. Protests erupted across the country, with citizens demanding reform or even the abolition of the Senate. The scandal had significant political ramifications, particularly for Stephen Harper and his Conservative Party. Although not directly implicated in any criminal wrongdoing, Harper's handling of the affair, particularly his initial denial of knowledge regarding Wright's payment to Duffy, cast a long shadow over his leadership. The scandal tarnished the Conservative brand, contributing to their defeat in the 2015 federal election. The Liberal Party, under Justin Trudeau, capitalized on the public's desire for change, promising greater transparency and accountability. Trudeau's pledge to reform the Senate, making it more independent and less partisan, resonated with voters eager for a departure from the old ways of doing politics. The scandal served as a stark reminder of the importance of public trust in a functioning democracy. While the legal battles of the Senate expenses scandal have concluded, its legacy continues to shape Canadian politics. The scandal exposed systemic weaknesses in the Senate's expense protocols and highlighted the need for greater transparency and accountability. In the aftermath, the Senate implemented a series of reforms aimed at restoring public confidence. These reforms included stricter rules on expense claims, greater oversight of senator spending, and the creation of an independent body to review expense reports. Despite these changes, questions lingered about the effectiveness of these measures and whether they went far enough to address underlying issues of entitlement and lack of accountability within the Senate. The scandal also reignited the debate about the very existence of the Senate. Calls for its abolition, once relegated to the fringes of Canadian politics, gained traction, with many arguing that the unelected nature of the Senate was undemocratic and that its role could be easily absorbed by the elected House of Commons. However, the Senate, despite its flaws, remained a part of the Canadian political landscape, a testament to the complexities of constitutional reform and the enduring power of tradition. The Senate expenses scandal, while a dark chapter in Canadian history, served as a catalyst for reflection and reform. At the municipal level, the Charbonneau Commission, launched in 2011, peeled back the polished veneer of Quebec politics and showed Canadians what happens when corruption isn't the exception. It's the system. What began as an inquiry into the construction contracts quickly morphed into a sprawling investigation that exposed how organized crime, politicians, and public officials carved up the province like a pie. Testimonies revealed a web of kickbacks, bid rigging, cash-stuffed envelopes, and illicit donations that flowed from construction firms to municipal leaders and political parties with impunity. The scheme was simple. Public works projects were inflated, rigged bids were submitted, and a percentage was kicked back to political insiders. Contractors paid to play, and City Hall turned a blind eye. Mayors, city councillors, bureaucrats, many knew and many took their cut. It wasn't just criminal. It was normalized. Construction giants like SNC-Lavalin were implicated. Political parties benefited. The line between governance and graft had been erased. The commission's findings led to multiple resignations, arrests, and for a brief moment, national embarrassment. But then, business as usual. The outrage faded. The recommendations collected dust. No sweeping reforms, no permanent watchdogs, no serious change in political financing. The Charbonneau Commission didn't just reveal corruption. It showed how deeply it was entrenched. Canada, a beacon of democracy, faces a hidden battle. Foreign countries are trying to interfere in Canadian life. This interference threatens Canada's sovereignty. Sovereignty means a country's right to make its own decisions. Foreign interference can take many forms. It can be spreading false information. It can be pressuring politicians. It can be trying to silence critics. These actions undermine Canada's democracy. Canadians are increasingly aware of this threat. A major report in January 2025 revealed the extent of the problem. The report was the result of a long investigation. It involved interviewing experts and gathering evidence. The findings were concerning for many Canadians. It showed that foreign interference is real and growing. This essay will explore the issue of foreign interference in Canada. The January 2025 report was a wake-up call for Canada. It found no evidence of Canadian politicians becoming traitors. This means they did not intentionally betray their country. However, the report did find something else worrying. It found that some politicians were naive. They were too trusting of foreign officials. This made them vulnerable to manipulation. The report showed that foreign governments were targeting Canadian politicians. They were using various tactics to gain influence. These tactics included offering gifts, making threats, and spreading disinformation. The report highlighted the need for greater awareness among politicians. They need to be better equipped to resist foreign interference. The report did not just focus on politicians. It also looked at the role of diaspora communities. These are groups of people living in Canada who were born in other countries. The report found that foreign governments were targeting these communities. They were trying to pressure them to support their agendas. The report identified several countries involved in interfering in Canada. Two countries stood out as the most active: China and India. China's interference focused on promoting its own economic and political interests. This included trying to silence critics of the Chinese government in Canada. India's interference was primarily aimed at influencing the views of the large Indian diaspora in Canada. Both countries deny these allegations. However, the report also highlighted that foreign governments are not the only source of interference. Disinformation, or the spread of false information, is a growing threat. This can come from domestic sources as well as foreign actors. Disinformation can be used to manipulate public opinion and sow discord. The report stressed that disinformation poses a significant risk to Canadian democracy. It can undermine trust in institutions and make it harder to have informed debates. The Canadian government's response to the threat of foreign interference has been met with mixed reviews. While some steps have been taken to address the issue, critics argue that more needs to be done. One of the main criticisms is that the government has been too slow to react. There have also been concerns about a lack of coordination between different government agencies. The 2025 report included 51 recommendations for the government to improve its response. These recommendations covered a wide range of areas. They include strengthening election security, protecting diaspora communities, and countering disinformation. The report emphasized the need for public education to raise awareness of the issue. The report presented a significant step forward in tackling foreign interference. It remains to be seen how effectively the government will implement its recommendations. However, one thing is clear: protecting Canada's sovereignty and democracy requires a vigilant and sustained effort.